Good morning, Tom. Can you hear us? Tom, it shows you're self-muted. Can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me now? Okay. People can hear you.
Am I live? Can everyone hear me? Am I live?
I can hear you. It's Tom.
We good? All right. We got a quorum, man. No way. Good. Morning. How you doing? All right. I need a pen. Yeah, I walked out and left my house. Thank you, man. Okay, the hour has come, and so let me have everyone's attention so that we may get the core MPO meeting in session. The February 22nd, 2023 meeting of the Coastal Regional MPO will now come to order. The core MPO is holding an in-person meeting with a virtual option for non-voting members and members of the public. For staff, board members, and members of the public who are participating today, today's agenda is broken down into the following items: approval of the agenda, committee reports, action item to be presented by the staff, other business, statute reports on current projects, activities, information reports, other public comments, notice by the chairman, adjournment. For each agenda action item, the staff will make a presentation. The board may then ask questions of the staff for clarification. During the public comment session, the floor will be open to the public to discuss matters on the agenda. For members of the public that are online, if you wish to comment on an item that the board is considering, use the raise your hand feature on your screen. For persons attending the meeting in person who desire to speak, staff will provide you with a speaker card. At the appropriate time, I will recognize you and staff will direct you to the microphone. At the end of your allotted time, as determined by me, you will be notified that your time has expired and I will recognize the next speaker. The meeting will now be called to order. First on our agenda is the approval of the agenda. Is there a motion? Is there a second?
Mr. Colombo, second.
Les Fussell.
All right. Colombo and Fussell, a second. It's been properly motioned and second that the agenda be approved. Are there any unreadiness? Hearing none. Please, we'll call for the vote and I ask all members, voting members, please state your name as you vote.
Robbie Collins, yeah, planning, aye. Tanya Milton, yes.
Les Fussell, yes.
Pamela Bernard, yes.
Sean Gillen, yes.
Nick Palumbo, yes.
Diedrich Cody, yes.
Faye DiMassimo, yes.
Jim Aiello, yes.
Chairman, yes. In the affirmative, we shall move on with committee reports. Virtue ACAT.
Good morning. ACAT met this month and approved all of the action items.
Thank you, ma'am. CAC.
Good morning. CAC met and supported and approved all action items.
Thank you. TCC.
TCC met on February the 16th. The action items were approved or adopted. Move forward.
Thank you. EDFAC.
Good morning. The EDFAC committee met on February 17th as well, and we did not have a quorum, but the most important thing was we didn't have a status update on the freight plan.
Thank you, ma'am. Do we have executive director report?
Good morning. No report from the executive director.
Okay.
Thank you.
We'll move on then to the action items. Approval of the December 14, 2022 meeting minutes. Is there a motion?
Make a motion to accept the minutes. Les Fussell.
Nick Palumbo, second.
Properly motion and second. Are you ready for any unreadiness? All right, let's please vote. And as you vote, please state your name for the records.
Robbie Cottle, yes.
Tanya Milton, yes.
Les Fussell, yes.
Pamela Bernard, yes.
Sean Gillen, yes.
Nick Palumbo, yes.
Deidre Cody, yes.
Faye DiMassimo, yes.
Jim Aiello, yes.
The chairman, yes. Approval of the fiscal year 2020 UPWP. Ms. Wakota.
Good morning.
Morning.
The UPWP Unified Planning Work Program is the staff work program, basically the staff budget for the next fiscal year, which covers July 1st of this year until June 30th of next year. For the revenue sources, so basically it's a program that tells us what funding sources and how much money we have and how we allocate those funds to staff activities. So we actually get three pots of funds to support the MPO function. The first part is the PL or highway planning funds. And the second part is set aside from that. The PL is called Y410. It's basically for non-motorized transportation plan or safe and access transportation. And then the third portion that we get is the Section 5303 from Federal Transit Administration. And all through all these three funds, filters through GDOT. So we are the subrecipient of GDOT, basically. All funds will require a local match. And normally the MPO membership dues pays the local match. And for the PL funds, the local match is 20%. So the membership dues pays that. And the Y410 funds, also the local match is 20%. But Federal Highway Administration, because this is such a small amount of money, a lot of smaller MPOs choose not to have it because it requires a second contract. So it's not worth the effort. So federal government decided, okay, in that case, we'll encourage you to have the money. So we will waiver the match. So that's what happened. So we get the Y410 funds in our area, more than $10,000. So we don't have the local match for the next fiscal year. For the Section 5303, the local match is also 20%, but GDOT has always paying the 10% local match, so local membership dues only pays another 10%. And all of these funds can only be used for planning activities, so it's like developing the long-range plans, TIPs, congestion management process, etc., having meetings, so they cannot be used for projects. But if we don't spend the money, those money, basically, we don't encumber 100% of the money, and the rest of the money will be pooled by GDOT. And then they will get all of the money from all the MPOs, and then they do this call for studies. So they call that discretionary funds, and that's how we got some of our studies funded, because we can apply for those funds as well. So for the next fiscal year, the total budget for the quorum PO is about $776,000. And of that, $435,000 are coming from the PL, about $11,000 coming from the Y410, and then about $176,000 coming from the 5303. So all of those, and I'm also listing the local match over here. Next screen, actually, you can see how we are allocating all those funds into the staff work program. So for all the PL funds will be used for four tasks: administration, public involvement, data collection, analysis and forecasting, and system planning and operations. Administration basically includes having all the meetings, providing support and coordination work, and developing contracts and executing the contract, doing the reimbursement, and also doing the UPWP development amendment, and then also the staff training. So the staff must be technically competent, so we do the staff training. Also include some like equipment purchase, like if we need some software or new computers. So that's including administration. Public involvement, we are doing the website maintenance, support of the Citizens Advisory Committee, and respond to actually provide information to citizens when they request information from us, for example, traffic count maps or functional classifications, so all that information. So that's included under public involvement. And data collection, analysis, and forecasting, basically there are only two major tasks underneath this. One is the socioeconomic data development, because we use the socioeconomic data to feed into our travel demand model, which supports the long-range transportation plan. And the second part is the land use monitoring, so review traffic impact analysis to see what kind of traffic that will be spilled over to the major highways. And the system planning and operations, you can see most of the money will be allocated to this program, because this covers the Metropolitan Transportation Plan, long-range plan development, short-range transportation improvement program, congestion management process, freight planning, non-motorized transportation. So basically all of the major planning activities are covered under system planning and operations. And under the section 5303, the transit funds are divided into four tasks: administration, like meetings, UPWP, contracts, that's one part of it. Long range plan, because our long-range transportation plan is multimodal, so it will include transit projects, so transit components contribute to that. And short-range planning includes the activities staff will do, basically the coordination work and technical assistance if we can provide to CAD, because CAD is doing several major studies on master transit plan, transit development plan, so we will definitely coordinate with CAD attending their meetings, and if they need data from us, we will provide assistance. And then our transportation improvement program is also multimodal, includes transit projects. So we do have a transit section. So that's why transportation improvement program is also a subtask under transit planning. And then the other part of money I was talking to you about, Y410, we did get $11,000. So for us, a separate contract, still a little bit worth it, there's more MPOs. So we use these funds to update and implement our non-motorized transportation plan. So it will provide some supplements to the PL funds under system planning operations. So as you can see, so the total federal dollars we will get for next fiscal year is $623,000, and the local match $130,000, and state match for the 5307, $22,000. So our total budget is about $776,000. These are the funds, all of the funds to support the MPO functions, but the MPO also coordinate with other jurisdictions and other agencies. And also we use some of the discretionary funds, which I told you about. So if the funds cannot be spent, they will pulled over by GDOT and pulled and being applied for. So basically from this screen on, and these are just the information item just to let you know what we're also doing, because we're using discretionary funds to do special studies. And then all the staff coordination work will be covered under task four, like system planning out of operation. For example, even if we're using discretion PR funds for freight plan update, but the staff activities are still covered under system planning operations. So discretion funds will be used just to pay for consultant work, just to pay consultant. So the discretion funds, normally in Georgia, we actually have like a two time that we can apply for these funds. One time in March, another time is in September. And so all of those studies, if you want to apply for those discretion funds, all the studies have to be included in the UPWP. And then the initiation of this is that we have to discuss this, the study at the TCC twice, at least at two cycles of meetings. And then we can submit the application on behalf of our local jurisdictions. And then the Georgia PL Funds Review Committee will review this and rank them and decide whether to allocate the funds or not. And also, all of those studies will require 20% local match. And normally, the project sponsors provide the local match. And we also have some Y230 funds and CRESA funds that can be used for studies. And current and MPO actually controls these funds. But these are competitive grant as well. So we have to conduct a call for project as well, and going through a competitive project selection process. And all of those studies, we also the sponsors must have provide 20% local match as well. So these are some of the highway side of the studies we are doing. So we are using the PL discretionary funds for MPO's freight plan update. We are also using the discretionary funds for the urban flooding model and planning tools. And this is the MPO are doing, but the consultants are doing this. So this money are paying for the consultant work. And for the Y230, we actually awarded three studies to Chatham County, State Route 204 access study and US 17 corridor study and Preston Street Railroad crossing elimination study. So for these studies, we have to program them into the UPWP, also into the TIP, because the funds need authorization by GDOT and the Federal Highway Administration before they can be available to the local governments. And then the third part on the CRESA funds, we actually allocated that to Pooler and to do the US 80 corridor study. You actually saw the presentation in December. They're going to do the study probably will be done in September of this year. So the consultant will give us recommendations probably at the June and give us a presentation, the recommendations during that. On the transit side, we also have some discretionary funds and other transit funding sources that can be included in the UPWP that can be used for study. For the discretionary 5303 funds, we actually applied for some additional funds, discretionary 5303 funds on behalf of CAT. That is to be used for the remix software, and CAT use that to do the redesign and the route match. And these studies have to be included in the UPWP as well. So we did that. But we don't know whether we're going to get it, because eventually the GDOT will make the decision whether to award that funds or not. So I'm just listing over here that we did apply on behalf of CAT, but we're not sure that we're going to get it. So hopefully we will. And the CAT also using other funding sources to do certain studies. So I'm just going to show you some of these. For the discretionary 5303, the total we applied for is like $28,000, with CAT providing local match. The total cost is about $35,000. And then CAT also using 5307 funds to do master transit plan and the transit development plan. You can see the amount over here. And then CAT is also using the ARP funds to do a route restoration and transit enhancement study, and then use the AOPP funds to do poverty reduction through transit improvements. So all of these funds are listed over here just for your information, because these funds are used to pay the consultants to do the work. So for our next year, besides coordinating these studies, and we will focus on updating our 2050 long-range transportation plan, because it has to be adopted in August of 2024. And we will kick in the congestion management process, which will feed into the 2050 MTP. And then we will complete the regional freight transportation plan. And then the urban flooding model study, the contract is actually have them until October 31st of next year to finish this, but we might be able to finish them earlier. And then we also, another task for the staff is the TIP maintenance and update. So we are hoping to have a new TIP, fiscal 2024 to 2027 TIP, adopted this year. So next year, we will just do the maintenance and update. So basically doing amendments or administrative modifications. But if we cannot do that, we probably will have to develop a new TIP. And then the finalization of reapportionment, I'm going to have a separate topic on that. I'm going to talk about it later. And then because our boundary will change, and then we will also have to update our participation plan, Title VI plan, et cetera. And we will keep on reporting on the performance-based planning and the programming, basically adopt the targets. Jasmine, we talked about that in a few minutes. And then we will also continue to monitor and implement the new funding legislation, the BIL or IIJA. So those would be the focus areas for the staff for the next year. The development process for this UPWP, because every MPO planning documents, we have to go through a public involvement process. The UPWP development process doesn't require like 15-day or 13-day public involvement, but it does go through two meeting cycles, and all of our meetings are open to the public. So basically serve as public meetings. So the development of the UPWP actually started in August of last year, and then we did a call for plans and studies. And then we developed the transit task in September and submitted a grant application for 5303 in October. And then we developed a preliminary draft. And then the advisory committees and MCOMPU board approved and endorsed the staff to submit the preliminary draft to Federal Highway, Federal Transit, and GDOT for comments in December. And we did receive the comments back in January. So the revised, actually, if you click on this, the agenda revised the draft over here. If you click on that revised the draft, you will see all of the comments over there and MPO's responses included in Appendix C. And then for specific questions, we documented, we made changes throughout the document. So they highlighted in the attached document, you can see what has been changed. And then we list the MPO board and advisory committee rosters. We listed the terms and acronyms, and those are newly added information. We added 4110 program because in December, the draft I presented to you didn't have that information. And we also update the budget. So besides the 4110, PL has a little bit funding updates. I think in December when I presented to you, the total was, the federal portion was $436,000. Now it's like $435,000. So it's like, yeah, within $10. But still, we need to update the budget. But in terms of the major planning tasks, there are no significant changes. During this month's meeting, all of the advisory committees accepted ADVAC because it's not on the ADVAC agenda. So TCCCs and ACAT all endorsed the UPWP. So today, we're going to ask for the CORMPU board to approve the revised draft. And after this, we will send the revised or finalized document to Federal Highway Administration, Federal Transit, and GDOT. And then they will probably send us approval letter. And then after that, we can start to execute the contract. So this is just some timelines that you will see. So we hope to have the final approval from Federal Highway Administration by June 30th. So the contract will probably in July or in August. So any questions?
Is there any board member with a question? All right.
On the President Street, the award of that grant for the President Street Railroad Elimination Study, what is the timeline on that?
The time, we actually
didn't have a timeline.
We included this study into the UPWP, and we also amended the TIP in December. So this study is included in our TIP. But I don't think we got the funds authorized yet.
Okay.
So since the funds have not been authorized, but Chatham County, you can do the RP process.
Mm-hmm.
So when you complete the RP process, the only thing is that you cannot execute the contract with the selected consultant until the funds are authorized.
Okay.
So because you also have to execute a contract between you and the GDOT. So that's the guarantee that the funding contract is there. That's after that you can exit the contract between Chatham County and the consultant.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I will ask the chairman, because the chairman said Chatham County got some earmark funds. So you might not need to use these funds. You might not need to use these funds, but you might need to use the earmark funds. So in that case, you can probably release this.
Those funds are two different sets of funds.
Okay.
All right. This fund is for the study. And the study only. Okay.
Yes.
The other funds that we receive is for construction whenever we get there. Okay.
Okay.
So we have to use these funds first to get the study done so that we can turn it in so that we can use the other monies that's earmarked.
Okay.
All right. So I'm going to make sure that you get that clear. And I'm going to be speaking to that in a few minutes, because I need to speak to all the municipalities about doing that, okay, so that we don't butt heads and then we don't have to start all over or we have to make adjustments. I'll speak to that in a few minutes, but that's the difference between the two funds.
Okay.
One is for actual construction. One is for a study.
So for the study.
And the study's got to be done before you can access the actual monies for construction. All right?
Yeah, for the studies, I think Pam might speak on that. You already started the RFP process, right?
Yeah, we've got the scope is done and the RFP is ready to go out. Whether it's on the street yet or not, I'm not sure.
Okay. So you still have several months before GDOT can authorize the funds and you still have to, you probably will give the consultant at least 1 month to respond. And then you have to have a committee to review the proposals, do their own rankings. So, another 2 months. So by that time, the funds might be authorized and you can execute the contract.
And I label that as dotting the I's and crossing the T's. Cause if we don't dot the I's and cross the T's, then we're going to have to revert back. So, It's not on the street yet because we haven't crossed all the T's, okay, and dotted all the I's. Okay.
Yeah. What I want to say is just don't execute the contract between you and the consultant until you authorize the funds. Yeah.
And plus we have to make sure that the MPO is aware of what all municipalities are doing so that we don't run into a problem down the line.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Shabazz, Alderwoman Shabazz.
Thank you, Mr.
Your mic on.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Under the discretionary PL fiscal year 2023, Y230, you had a category listed for US 17 SR25 corridor study. Can you just give me a brief description of an overview of that particular study? What does it involve?
It's Chatham County, yeah.
That's a safety and operational study that will review traffic counts. It'll review crash data and land use, traffic volumes, just to see what improvements, especially one thing that's included in that will be pedestrian and bikes, looking for improvements that are needed for the road and for pedestrian facilities through that corridor.
Okay. Because of the length of US 17, what areas does the study involved?
Okay, it's going to go all the way from the county line to 516.
From the county line?
South of Richmond, the Richmond Hills, so the river.
Before going to the river.
Yeah, at Ogeechee River, there, and mm-hmm. then go to 516.
To 516.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it will involve the coordination between Chatham County, City of Savannah, and Garden City, because it will cover multiple jurisdictions.
Okay.
But the hope is that when at the end of that study, then we'll have some projects identified for improvements, both short term and long term.
How long? What is the duration of the study before it's completed?
We haven't got that. I don't know that we've got that nailed down yet, but okay. I'm thinking it'll be somewhere a year, maybe a little longer, possibly.
Yeah, I think maybe 12 months to 18 months.
Yeah, 12 to 18 months. Yeah.
All right, one more. Mr. Chairman, discretionary 5303, question about the $444,444 for poverty reduction study. You know, these types of words are triggers for me and the constituents. So can someone expound on a poverty reduction study?
Yeah, Faye.
That comes from Kat.
Okay.
So both the funds that you see there for the...
Your mic not on.
Thought I had it. Sorry. Can you hear me now? So the areas of persistent poverty and the route restoration studies, we are coordinating the scopes of those with FTA now. Both are being utilized under the comprehensive operational analysis work we're doing now to improve overall fixed route and paratransit services in serving areas, especially that don't have as much access and have great needs, looking at the condition of stops and shelters, and in particular also looking at first mile, last mile, a first mile, last mile pilot in underserved or less served areas that meet the very specific criteria for both of those grants, including the one that you noted.
Let's go a little deeper with the areas of and define what do you mean by underserved areas. Are there, I'm pretty sure you do know, what areas specifically are we talking about? Because we've been talking about certain areas, particularly out in my district and throughout the city of Savannah, 204 area, US 17 area, near 95 area. Can you explain it a little bit more?
I'm glad to pull that information. I don't have it here with me today, but I'm glad to pull the detail of that information so I give you a really robust, satisfactory answer and get that to you following this meeting.
Thank you so much.
Of course.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right, plus let's add into that, Ms. Fagan. Now, I say Ms. Fagan because I don't like messing up her last name, okay? So there's no disrespect for her. But also give her how your master plan is going to be this is a part of your master plan and what your master plans are for the entire county. All right. Okay.
One other thing I would add to that. I appreciate the chairman bringing that up. We're going to give you in our CAT report today, we're going to give you a little bit of an update of sort of the status of that master transit plan effort, because the chairman's absolutely right. The coordination of everything very comprehensively countywide and including areas immediately adjacent to us where we've got robust emerging job centers and getting people to and
absolutely
from those job opportunities. It's all a part of the master transit plan. We are also scheduled, I talked to Sally today, in April at the next MPO meeting, we're going to give a detailed report out to this group. And there's also an open house that's coming up for all elected officials, business leaders, and so forth, that you'll have an opportunity. I think that's in May, that you'll also have an opportunity to really get hands-on with what sort of the emerging strategies, projects, and recommendations are. But we're going to give you a status on that today.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. All of you understand this. My mandate as chairman of this board, as well as chairman of the county, from the federal government is that we be inclusive of every inch of Chatham County. Okay. And so when we talk about transportation, there are federal dollars that are available to us in transportation. But I'm going to say this again, and this is why MPO is going to be so important. You will not get one dime if you don't have a plan that includes the whole county. That's why, remember now, MPO, what the PO, the P is for planning. We must have, these are studies that must be done that we must turn into the feds, okay, that outline exactly where we're going. And that's why I have the conversation with Ms. Faye and those over at CAT, okay, because public transportation is a vital part of what's coming up. And this board is getting ready to expand, all right? We'll elaborate on that in a little bit, all right? But this board is getting ready to expand, and we're going to have to make sure that we cover every inch and every I and every T and every dot, okay? And so that's why I asked her to let you know that when you're talking about the poverty reduction, mm-hmm, right, you're just not talking about the poverty in Savannah or the one in Garden City, but you're talking about throughout Chatham County. Okay. And so we must make sure that our plan fits what the feds see and what we turn into them, because they're going to be questioning where we are. And I'll say to you now, as I meet with these folks, I'm trying to get every penny I can from them as much as we can. And we're getting dollars now that we have never gotten in the history before, because we have taken the time to come up with a suitable plan for them. You remember this, when it comes down to what you plan on doing, what you think may not work, all right? But if you satisfy GDOT And if you satisfy the feds, then the money comes. All right. But we must go through studies to get all these things done. Sometimes we can use funds that we have on hand. And when I say we, I'm talking about every municipality. You can use the funds you have to expedite the study, get it done faster. Other times you're going to have to go through the process, and that process can take anywhere from 12 months to 18 months to get it done. All right. And so that's why it's important that you know that these funds are available. All right. But if we get a plan in and get an earmark, I don't care if it go into 3 years from now, those funds will still be there. All right. And I'm talking about federal funds now. Okay.
All right.
All right. I saw Commissioner Milton. Did I see your hand? All right, it's being go back to State Route 1725. All right, that's the study that you can point to those constituents. See the corridor study. All right, the $500,000. You can point more to them, and I think more than MPO giving you an answer.
Chatham County.
It'd be the engineering department from Chatham County.
Yeah.
Who can get that now? And we haven't put that on the street yet, have we, Mr. Manager?
No, sir, we haven't.
All right. So therefore, now would be the time to set up a meeting with the manager and the staff. All right. So that he can get your constituents those concerns as they develop that plan. Okay.
Sir.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I seem to recall we looked at doing something on the other end of 17 from 516 all the way to 16. Was there any discussion on doing anything along that Geechee Road corridor?
The Okeechee Road widening project,
yes.
GDOT is doing that. I think
right now.
It was supposed to be let in January, but they only got one bid, so they're going to re-let.
Okay.
Yeah. I think it was, Katie, is that right?
Yes, but I don't have the new let that yet. We're still waiting on that.
Right.
And is that going to be just widening or safety improvements, or what's incorporated into that contract?
Major widening.
Yeah,
I can look up the details for you.
Yeah, because currently the Okeechee Road between Victory Drive to I-516, you only have like one lane on each side. I think it's like widened to two lanes on each side. And then there will also be some bicycle accommodation,
right,
if I remember correctly.
Okay.
The concept. Yes.
All right. Did I have anyone on this side now? Did I get everyone? All right. We got Ms. Woods, who wants to speak on an issue that you brought up with Wakoda.
Can we approve the UPWP first?
Let's get her question first, so before we do approve.
Oh, okay.
All right, Ms. Woods, come, if you step up to the mic and give us your question. I want to make sure that when we approve what your concerns are.
That's why I'm
butting in.
That's very kind.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Artis Wood and chair of Scenic Chatham County. We are associated with the National Scenic America, scenic.org. Please check it out. And two of our concerns nationally are gateways and undergrounding wiring. So traditionally, road improvement has been involved with widening roads, which long-term has been proven to not be the way to help. For a while it does, and then, you know, but that's another story to be included in discussions for you. But I'm hoping in your funding plan, which sounds very generous, although general, that you will consider the highway gateways. And we don't mean just a sign to say welcome to Chatham County or to the municipalities therein, but to have perhaps an alley of trees, some way that says we're in a special place, we're in a different place. Because if we look like any place USA, why would people come here? Why would they enjoy living here? So that's one element. The other is that more and more we've realized that burying power lines, especially when roads are being changed, widened, et cetera, we're getting more funds from the feds for this. And it's shown again and again that in storms, which unfortunately we're getting more and more of, that the maintenance, the repair afterwards is much, much easier. Yes, it does cost money to put it underground, but there are better ways, better funding that's available. We'd like to help you with that, with national studies that we've done. So I would love to be on this committee that's being formed and carry on with the generous funds you have for planning. Planning is a great thing to do. Thank you.
All right, let me invite you to do two things. Number one, let me invite you to get in touch with the MPO, all right, staffing.
And who would that be?
That would be Ms. Melanie Wilson and her staff.
Okay, MPO.
And I think the point person probably would be Ms. Wakota sitting behind you.
Okay.
If you would give her all your contact information, okay?
I will.
And secondly, let me ask you to get in touch with the manager, the county manager. And then what the county manager can do is bring you in tune with the municipality managers, all right? Because at what we're doing crosses jurisdictions.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So you may be talking about the city of Savannah in one particular place, Poole in another, Thunderbolt in another, Tybee in another, Burnenberg in another.
Right.
And so as you talk about Gateway and as you talk about the entrance into here and making it beautified, as these plans go forward, I think that if you connect with those groups, they'll get your concerns and have your input as we go, okay?
Thank you. I appreciate that.
All right.
That.
You're welcome. All right, Ms. Wakota, now we've covered that. You seeking our approval?
Yeah,
all
yes.
Right, do we need to have a public hearing before we do approval?
We don't need a public hearing, right. But I do want to mention that artists actually have some specific suggestions, and I'm still coordinating with Judah to find out
right.
which department is responsible for transportation enhancement, like Gateway, like I-16
right.
coming into. So we are still trying to figure it out because I forwarded that information
right.
to Judah. I haven't got that answer yet.
See, and that's not a question, and that's why I appointed Ms. Woods to
yeah.
talk with you, because that's not a question you can answer in 30 seconds or
yeah,
minute
I cannot,
or 2 minutes.
Yeah.
All right. It requires you have to get in touch with GDOT. GDOT sometimes have to get in touch with the feds so that they'll know exactly what guidelines are attached to these monies and stuff. So that's why I said to her, get in touch with you so you can set up time framing for that, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
Now, yes, ma'am.
Ready for the motion?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. I'd like to make a motion for the final fiscal year 2024 UPS. UPWP.
Second.
Been properly motioned and second that we approve the fiscal year 2024 UPWP. Is there any unreadiness? Hearing none, please signify your vote, state your name, and affirmative or negative, whatever.
Dr. Shabazz, yes.
Robbie Caudill, yes.
Tanya Milton, yes.
Michael Kegler, yes.
Les Fussell, yes.
Pamela Bernard, yes.
Sean Gillen, yes.
Nick Palumbo, yes.
Deidre Cody, yes.
Faye DiMassimo, yes.
Jim Aiello, yes.
Thank you.
All right. Anything else, Ms. Walkover? Thank you, ma'am. Ms. Champion?
Good morning again.
Yes, ma'am.
I am going to provide the report on the performance-based planning program targets. This may be the first time for some of you all or the second time that you are seeing this. This is kind of a new concept. I believe these came in place in 2018 to kind of help guide better investment decisions. GDOT adopted the statewide targets for PM1, PM2, and PM3 on December 12th of last year, and CAT adopted the transit safety targets on January 1st, 2023, and their transit asset management targets on July 1st, 2022. And I am bringing these to you all today for adoption. For the targets, you have the option to set your own as the MPO, or just adopt a state or in the transit targets. And we have chosen to adopt GDOT's and CAT's targets. So we have 180 days to adopt these targets from each agency's respective adoption date, which I just shared with you all. So I'm going to scroll down to just, oh, before I do that, I also want to make a note that once we adopt these today, these will also go into the appendix of the current long-range transportation plan, as well as the current transportation improvement program. Now I'm just going to go down and share each target. So for PM1, as I stated, these were adopted in December of last year, and the PM1 target includes the number of fatalities, the rate of fatalities per 100 million vehicle miles traveled, number of serious injuries, rate of serious injuries per 100 million vehicles miles traveled, number of non-motorized fatalities and non-motorized serious injuries, and you all can see the target numbers there that was set by GDOT. Any questions on that target?
All right, we have one over here.
I see these are our targets.
State who you are.
Sorry, Jim Ayala, Savannah Airport. I saw this in the TCC, and I should have asked it then, but did we ever, did we review them versus the 2022, or, I mean, are we in line, or, I mean, I'm seeing the target for the next year. How are we doing from our previous target?
We actually have the system report that will go into a little more detail of that to kind of show that, but it pretty much everything from what I've seen, just from what I remember, everything was kind of pretty much in alignment. Nothing was too far off for each target that we have.
All right.
Yeah.
It's a comparative study.
Sorry, I was just curious. We just have these targets out here, 1,680 fatalities, and I mean, I don't know if that's a lot or a little for the state of Georgia. I mean, I just...
Yeah, I understand. Like I said, it is in our system report, which is also attached to this. This is just the staff report that was put together to kind of highlight the new target, but a more detail of these targets comparison to previous targets is in that report.
Is that something I should have seen in the agenda?
That's on you, Mr. Jim. But yeah, it is a part.
It is a part of that report.
It's all right. It's all right.
We'll get there.
Any more questions?
Baby steps for me.
Okay.
Any more questions?
I'm gonna go.
So I'll move on to the next target. The next one is CAT's transit safety targets, and this one includes fatality as well, serious injuries, safety events, and system reliability. You also see the definition of what those items mean, and then you see the targets listed here as well. Any questions? All right, I'll move on to the next one. Next, we have the PM2 target. This one is for the bridge and pavement conditions. This was also, again, adopted December 12th of last year. And this just kind of looks at the good and poor conditions of the bridge and pavement structures. And as you see here, you see a two-year and a four-year target. These targets can be revisited again in 2024, but GDOT also looks at a mid-year point. That's why you see that two-year there. Any questions? All right, move on to the next one. Our next target is the PM3, which is the system reliability targets. Something I want to kind of note here, you see the Atlanta urbanized area. One of the reasons why you see that is because, again, we are adopting GDOT statewide target. We don't have targets that are individualized to this particular area. And so those are two things for the Atlanta area that has to be considered. So I just want to point that out. So One statewide target is the percent of miles traveled on the interstate that are reliable. Another statewide target is the percent of miles traveled on the non-interstate national highway system that are reliable. Then you have the freight component, which is the truck travel time reliability index. Again, the one for the Atlanta area is the annual hours of peak excessive delay per capita, and then you have the percent of non-single occupancy vehicle travel. And then the last state target is for the total emissions reduction. Any questions regarding this target? All right. As you see here, I just kind of gave an overview of what those targets entail. And here you see the 2-year and the 4-year numbers that are associated with that. Again, this is something that GDOT will look at the 2-year mark. And then they will do another adoption in 2024 for the 4-year mark. The last target that we have is the CATS Transit Asset Management Target. These were adopted in July 1 of 2022. This just looks at the rolling stock equipment and facilities and just kind of looking at the state of good repair and the life, kind of like the life expectancy for these items that are listed here. Any questions in regards to these targets? All right, so those are all the targets that I have, and I would like to ask for you all to adopt this on today. If you have no further questions.
Are there any questions? Let me ask that first. And I think, Dr. Shabazz, you find out that in this study is where we talk about safety, all right? And that safety along everything that we are doing, along all the corridors that we are doing, okay? That's why I said that. Are there any questions? All right, is there a motion, please?
Yes, sir, Mr. Chair. I'd like to make a motion for the approval of the performance measurement staff's report.
There's a second.
Second.
Properly motion and second that the approval be given to the report. Are you ready for the question? Any unreadiness? Please signify your votes. State your name.
Dr. Shabazz, approve.
Robbie Cottle, GDOT, yes.
Tanya Milton, yes.
Michael Kegler, yes.
Les Fussell, yes.
Pamela Bernard, yes.
Sean Gillen, yes.
Nick Palumbo, yes.
Diedrich Cody, yes.
Faye DiMassimo, yes.
Jim Aiello, yes.
The chairman, yes. And let me say this now. Ms. Champion, flip back to where it gives us instructions about the duration. All right? Let's go back to the list. Yeah, all right. I want all of you to notice now. You have 180 days, all right? So you need to get with the MPO so that if there's any adjustments we need to make in that, you can make it within that 180 days. Am I correct? All right.
Well, the 180 days is like the adoption. We just adopted them.
Right. And so therefore, any jurisdiction who come up with anything, okay, make sure you do that so that and at the end of those 180 days, what goes in is what we want to go in. All right. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you all.
Ready to move along? All right, other business, let me remind, I just want to remind all jurisdictions, all of us who are in now, we have gone to our federal partners to ask for funds, all right, to do specific projects in our jurisdiction, all right? Some of those monies have been awarded, but we need to make sure that by getting award from the feds, you don't wipe out monies that they're also giving to MPO. So therefore, you need to let MPO know. They call them earmarks, but I don't think that earmarks is right. But for instance, if I just use this as an example, the county got what, 1.5 million for 1.2 for the EOC, all right? If that had to come through MPO and MPO had money set aside, we need to know so that it can adjust their budgets to fit so that we can move monies around for projects as needed, okay? There's no need in us spending money twice. That's my point, okay? Let's spend money once, and if we have to adjust MPO's budget for a study that they're doing, if you've got monies to do anything, and this is in transportation now, that's what MPO take care of. If you've got monies to widen a road or do safety on a road and it requires a study, if MPO already has money set aside to do that study, you need to let them know so that they don't spend money to do a study and you spending money to do a study. Do I get it clear now? Everybody understands what I'm coming? So therefore, every jurisdiction, please make sure you let MPO know any federal funding that you are getting, all right? And that way we'll make sure that we don't have any conflict of interest or we don't have any cross spending, okay? Because we need to use these dollars wisely.
Yeah, thank you, Chairman. Thank you for pointing that out. The thing is, when you get your MERC funds, you don't notify us,
right?
And then we don't know how to help you, because most of the time, the funds don't just come directly to you. You cannot just access it because the federal government always give you some procedures to follow before you can access those. If those are transportation dollars, most of the times they will ask you to include your project into our long range plan or TIP before you can get the funds authorized and access them. Because I think the chairman mentioned, because Pooler got the dollars for Quaker Road project and South Roger Street project and Pine Barren Road projects. Those are road projects. Actually, City of Savannah got the earmarked funds for the Truman Linear Park Trail Phase 2B project. But if you don't let us know, we don't know how to help you, because, I mean, we know that the Truman Linear Park Trail earmark, we can program that in the TIP because we already have a project. But for the Pooler's three projects, I mean, if the requirement is to have those funds included in the TIP before you can access it, you need to let us know. Otherwise, we just don't know. We just don't know whether you got it or, I mean, how you access it. We just cannot help you. So please just revisit your earmark funded project. If it's transportation related, please send us a list and let us know what is the scope for the project or for the study, so that we will figure out whether we need to include it in the UPWP or TIP or MTP, so we can help you. Thank you.
Okay. All right. We just want to make sure that we're all on the same page.
Okay.
Because you can't call on Tuesday and have it done by Wednesday. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
Okay. That's why we want to. All right. Let's go on, Ms. Marcota, to the boundary.
Okay. I call this reapportionment because after each census release, every 10 years, after the census releases the urban area or urbanized area boundary, the MPO has to revise our planning boundary. So that's why we are doing this, because all the MPOs must do in the planning for certain within certain boundaries. And our current boundary is all of Chatham County and Richmond Hill in Bryan County and the two tiny fingers in Effingham County. But now census gave us the new information and we have to revisit the boundary. And that also means our MPO membership must have to change probably. And the MPO, all the MPO plans and documents programs have to be revised. For example, we don't have that many transportation projects included in Effingham County. But if more of Effingham County is included in the Cornfield planning boundary, so transportation improvement projects in Effingham County will be included in our plan and the program.
So you're saying that it'll be all of Effingham and Bryan?
I'm going to So we have to do that. So the reapportionment includes the boundary finalization and MOU update, the MOU text itself, and also some funding agreement, because currently all the jurisdictions and MODA representatives pay the MPO dues based on populations. So, but if we revise the boundary, and revise the population. So all of that will change. So funding agreement will change as well. And the core MPO bylaws we have to change as well, because we might need to include new members on the board. And advisory committees probably have to change, propose some changes as well. And as I mentioned, MPO's plans and the programs we have to change as well. Non-motorized transportation plan, currently we only include Chatham County. So we might include more projects in Bryan County and FM County as well. So this is my very aggressive timeline. So we try to have the MPO planning boundary finalized in April, and then have the MOU and bylaws, adopt the changes to the MOU and bylaws adopted in June by the MPO board. And then there will be signature pages on the MOU. So each jurisdiction, we have to probably execute them at your, city council meetings or Chatham County Commission meetings. So you have to execute that. We will just give you probably like 2 months to execute that. And then after that, we will forward everything with the signatures to the governor and the GDOT, and it will be waiting for the governor's signature. So that's why I said this is very optimistic and very aggressive timeline. But hopefully by the end of the year, we will have all of this done. And then, if in the new boundary, some of our plans haven't been updated, we will have to update those as well. So we'll probably update the UPWP. Actually, the one that you just adopted might need to be, because the planning boundary is included in there. So we will probably have to update that. And the TIP, if we adopt the TIP in June, that means if we have new projects in FM County and Richmond Hill and Bryan County, we have to amend the TIP to include those projects as well. And the Title VI and the participation plan also, like outreach organizations, agencies will be updated as well, at least. And the MTP update should be fine, because we will not adopt MTP until August 2024. So by that time, the new boundary would be established already. So we hope to have the MPO start to operate under the new MOU and bylaws at the beginning of next year. So this is how we are going to do it. So the MPO staff will propose the changes to the planning boundary and the draft MOUs and the bylaws updates. And then we will have a working group to review this information, and then also develop a methodology to see, okay, whether this is good or not, whether the staff proposal is good or not. And then the working group will make recommendations to the advisory committees. And then advisory committees can give us the input, and then eventually the recommendations from the advisory committees will be forwarded to the MPO board. So this is the procedure. As of now, the working group, we have one volunteer from ACAT, three or four volunteers from TCC, and the three volunteers from the Citizens Advisory Committee. So we are going to schedule meetings with them in March, April, and May, so that we can start to work on this. So after today's meeting. This is just an example of what's included in the MOU, Memorandum of Understanding. It's basically define the contracting parties, like Savannah, Chatham County, Port Authority, Airport, CAT, Richmond Hill, like local jurisdictions, Tybee. So what your responsibilities are, and also what the MPO's boundaries are, what MPO's responsibilities are, what the GDOT's responsibilities are. So that's why we need a signature from all of you. In Exhibit A is the updated boundary, and Exhibit B is the funding agreement. So this is just an example of what the language, the current language is regarding the local governments, like collaborate with the MPO process, maintain records of crashes, assist MPO in collecting planning information, for example. So this is just an example over here. So now I'm going to deal with the boundary. So as you can see, the purple area is the newly defined Savannah urban area by the census. As you can see, in Bryan County, Buckhead area over here on the right side of Richmond Hill has been included in the Savannah urban area. So that means we have to include Buckhead into the core MPO planning boundary. But it's not included in Richmond Hill. So that means probably Bryan County will be a partner in the MPO process as well. They probably have a new membership over here, and that means also means they will have started to pay the MPO dues. And so you can see in Effingham County, the previous two tiny fingers, like now is a like big block right now. And, but you notice that Rincon is not included, in the Quorum PO, not Quorum PO, is the Savannah urban area. That's probably because of the census changed their definition for the urban area, because previously you have different urban areas and urban clusters, and you have like jumps and hops distance. So the previous distance is like 2.5 miles. So you can jump from the Savannah urban area to the urban cluster and you can incorporate it. But they changed that category, they reduced that from 2.5 miles to 1.5 miles. That's probably explains the reason why Rincon is its own urban area. So it's not connected as part of the Savannah urban area. That might be the reason. But during the MTP update process, we did presentation in Rincon, and they see the benefits of joining MPO. So now they are willing to, or they want to be a part of the MPO. So that the boundary within Effingham County probably will be expanded to include Rincon as well. As you can see, some of these on the right, you see the population density, because this is Asia did this map. We just want to see what other dense area population density areas that we need to be included in the Quorum PO planning area boundary. So I see at least, and also Les sent me the Richmond Hill boundary, the jurisdictional boundary, because since last census, Richmond Hill actually did some annexation to the southern part of Bryan County. So the boundary of Richmond Hill almost is butting the southern border over here. So definitely we need to probably include almost all of half Bryan County into our planning boundary. And for Effingham County, as you can see, probably this is based on the 2020 population. The next page focuses on the 2050 population. So I mean, on both map, you can see even Springfield has population density that might be included. So we are proposing, At this point, the working group will probably provide more input. But as far as I see it, I see at least southern Bryan County to be included. And then in Effingham County, at least Rincon will be included. So probably normally you don't want your boundary to be like zigzagging, since you want it to be smooth boundary. So we will follow certain like roadways. So over here, I see actually State Route 119 being the dividing line in Effingham County. But if Richmond Hill wants to join, we need to push our border even more to the north. So this will be presented to you later when we have a smoothed boundary and after we have the working group. And for the funding agreement, and currently, like I said, it's based on population, but if we have new jurisdictions, they will start to pay. So that means the funding agreements, the calculation will change. So you will see that. And the proposed bylaws, if we expand to include more of Effingham County and Rincon, probably Effingham County is already on the Quorum PO board, so Rincon might have a seat. And if we expand more into Richmond Hill and Bryan County, and Richmond Hill has already had a seat, so Bryan County might need a seat. So we will revisit our MPO membership. And also, currently the Citizens Advisory Committee chairman and ACAD chairman are also voting members on the MPO board, but they haven't been participating on the MPO meetings for several years. So we decide probably we will remove those two seats from the MPO board and add in the new jurisdictional representatives. So then we will also standardize election time, because currently TCC has the election in December and the CEC has election in July or August. So everybody's different. So we want to standardize that. So it's easier for us to track as well. And also the federal certification review actually recommends that all of the MPO board and advisory committees have elections. So that means Chatham County Commission chairman cannot automatically assume the responsibility of as the MPO board chairman. So you will have to have an election among yourself to see who will be elected the chair and the vice chair. So those will be the changes for the bylaws. We still need at least 21 days ahead of the notice so that we can satisfy all the public involvement requirements. So we're not going to change the minimum days for agenda submittal. But we do want to combine the Citizens Advisory Committee and Advisory Committee on Transportation. CEC has 15 seats because each jurisdiction appoints one member. But now we only have attendance of like 3 or 4. So most of those are vacancies. And ACAD, we have at least 21 members. So and we struggle to have a quorum. So we normally like have 5 or 4. So we want to combine these two because they can have a more focused public involvement process, because currently every time we do TIP amendments and they do rubber stamp, they endorse them or something. So we want them to like function more like the ADFAC, the Economic Development Advisory Committee, because the ADFAC just focus on like free to plan update. They provide detailed input on that. They have detailed presentation on that, and they provide input. So if we have Citizens Advisory Committee and Advisory Committee on Accessible Transportation combined, and they can focus on maybe participation plan or Title VI plan, major updates, or when we have major long-range plan update or transportation improvement development, so they provide input, but they don't have to like meeting like bi-monthly to do like rubber stamping for the TIP amendment or something. So whenever there is a major plan update, and they can meet more often. So that's what we are proposing over here. These are just some of the staff proposals, but it's still to be determined and finalized. But so far, we haven't got any pushback from CEC and ACAD about the consolidation of these two committees, because both of them have been struggling with meeting quorums. Both of them have been struggling with filling the vacancies. So we haven't got any pushback on that. These would be what will be included under reapportionment, and definitely Melanie will start to coordinate with all the jurisdictions, because I mean she's in a better position than me to coordinate with the city managers and the city council members, the mayors. I'm just a staff member, so we will start to work on this pretty soon, and then probably hopefully to get this done at least by the end of the year. Any questions?
Let me ask you, I don't have a question, but I do have some directions for staff. If you will get me those federal recommendations that they sent,
mm-hmm.
All right, if you get me a copy, then I'll make sure all the other jurisdictions get copies of those.
Actually, I think Melanie and Pam has already sent you that memo.
I know she sent the memo. Listen to what I'm saying now. I got the memo.
Yeah.
But what I want is I want what the feds sent.
Okay.
All right. Just pass that along. They got it. All right. And when I say you, I'm not talking about you singular. I'm talking about the MPO. All right. Just make sure we get a copy of those so that all the jurisdictions will know. We don't need to make no decisions, and we don't have no directions on what we're doing. Okay. I don't like doing stuff in the blind. Okay. So yeah. I saw the memo. All right. I read it again yesterday after we talked. All right. But I want to actually see what came from the feds. Okay. All right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any more questions on this?
Any questions? All right. Thank you.
Thanks.
Moving right along. We're going to status updates.
The 2050 MTP update, since December, Asia presented you the findings and updated goals and objectives based on the survey results. And she's going to present you the findings from the map comment. And then other than that, I'm going to just add that we are still developing the 2050 socioeconomic data We hired somebody who helped us develop that data, and we submitted data to GDOT, and which will feed into the travel demand model. And we just got the GDOT comments or response on those. And so we are going to address the GDOT comments, and then the staff who developed it resigned. So we have to figure out how to deal with the follow-up on that 2050 data development. But now Asia will give you the presentation on the findings on the map survey.
Okay.
Okay, let me just open this really quickly. I'm just going to give a brief presentation on the comment map survey. So in addition to the text survey that we have running for the Metropolitan Transportation Plan update, we also have a comment map survey where you can actually put a pin on the map and type out a problem or an idea that you have for that specific area. And I just want to state that this comment map is still open, so everyone is welcome to give their input on this map. So we've received approximately 70 comments so far. And the comments cover an array of transportation-related topics from intersections to safety to bike and pedestrian and more. And the results from this map survey help us identify specific geographic locations that must be more deeply explored in the 2050 Metropolitan Transportation Plan update. So where are these comments coming from exactly? So the majority of the comments are coming from Savannah, which is not a surprise just because Savannah has the largest population within the core MPO region. And Savannah's received over 30 comments, with many of those comments coming from the downtown area, Midtown, and the area surrounding Victory Drive. Pooler also received many comments, around 10, and many of those comments were concentrated around Pooler Parkway. And the Islands received 8 comments, especially around Islands Expressway and Johnny Mercer Boulevard. So these were not the only areas that received comments. These were just the areas where comments were kind of clustering. But there are more areas throughout Chatham, Bryan, and Effingham that also received public input. So what exactly are people saying? So we essentially did a word cloud where we put all of the comments into a word cloud generator to see what people were talking about the most. And so traffic was a standout among them. There were many comments that were concerned with traffic and congestion. But then there were also comments on sidewalks, pedestrian infrastructure, intersections, and turn lanes, signalization, to name a few things. And so we're just going to go briefly into some of those comments. So again, many respondents were concerned about traffic and congestion and how to relieve that traffic and congestion. One respondent identified Benton Boulevard as congested every day and suggested increasing traffic flow by adding more lanes. In terms of pedestrian infrastructure and bicycle infrastructure, safety was a common concern among bike and pedestrian comments. So one respondent stated, there are a number of bicyclists of all ages, including children, that ride along Coffee Bluff / White Bluff where there is no shoulder or sidewalk. This creates a dangerous situation for both driver and cyclist. And the last comment that I'm going to get in to is intersections, just because intersections, especially left turns, came up a lot. So one respondent stated that a left turn signal is needed at Habersham and 63rd Street to address some of the traffic that backs up during busy times. So I just wanted to thank all the respondents that have given their input on this map survey. We genuinely do read every single comment that we receive, and we analyze every comment that we receive. And it gives us a better understanding of the transportation needs within the area. And it's extremely helpful in assisting the core MPO staff with identifying some of the most problematic areas in the region. So again, I hope that everyone can maybe put their opinion on the map or comment on the map. I can definitely send a link out just so you can go directly to the map and give your opinion and also share it as well with the community. Are there any questions?
Can you pull up the where they can make comments section at?
Yes.
All right. Well, you can take and put stick the pin exactly where you want to talk about. Can you show us that now?
Mm-hmm.
All right, do that for me. I want to invite some folks to do some things.
Yeah. Can everyone
stick a pin? What I want you to do is I want you to stick a pin on 17 South Ogeechee Road.
17 South of Ogeechee Road.
Yeah.
Let me see if I can find that first.
Yeah, find that on here.
Okay.
And go stick a pin.
Let me see.
And now, this is for Commissioners Milton and Shabazz.
Am I in the right area or down some?
Down some.
Okay, I see it.
Right there.
Okay.
Now, the reason I did this is because I want you to tell your constituents to go do this. She's going to give you the link, all right? Ask your constituents to go there and put the pin there and write in the comments. See, so if they get them, then the rest of us get them, okay? And that's that way we can address exactly what they're saying, because they live there. We visit there, but they live there, all right? So this is a way that we can get the comments, see, and after you type in your comments, it says submit, all right? So they can even narrow this down even further when you go on the map. They can even narrow it down to, give me Derrickson Road, all right? 17 and Derrickson Road. You can put the pin right there, boom. You can put the pin on what, Cottonville is another?
Right now we want to go to Chatham Parkway.
All right, all right. Even if you go to, what I'm understanding, I was just giving this an example.
All of those.
Even if you go to Chatham Parkway, all right, Chatham Parkway is like this, right? But the constituents want you to go right here.
They
can go right there and put the pin and then put the comment in there so that they can get it, and then she can respond to their comments, and then she can allow you to know where it is.
Is that happening right now, or is this just a part of the 2050 plan?
So this survey is still open, and it is a part of the ongoing
right now.
Yeah, 2050 plan, which is we're in the process of updating it until August of 2024. So everyone still has a lot of time to put their comments on this map.
This is sort of kind of an urgent process.
No, it's going on now.
It's
a part of the 2050 plan,
mm-hmm.
But it's going on now. What they're doing now is collecting the data. All right. So that as we apply for study monies to do things, these comments could be a part of those study model. So that's why I wanted her to pinpoint it to show you how it's done. All right.
Are you responding to comments? Excuse me. Are you responding to comments? But the comments that probably my constituents want answered needs to come from an engineer and GDOT. And I'm saying GDOT. GDOT may not own Chatham Parkway. Are they responsible for Chatham Parkway?
Mm-mm.
Okay, that's county.
County.
So,
but let Wakota answer that for you.
Yeah, let me just say this. So if your constituents just send the comments, and then if we see that is related to the 2050 MTP development, we will document it. And if we see is it like you need immediate response from somebody that we cannot resolve, we will forward it to whoever who can.
Right.
So I have a question. Are they allowed to speak now? They do have a card. Can we answer that while we're talking about it?
No. Here's what you need to do. All right. More than speak now.
I mean, they're
right
now.
I know. I understand. That's why I did this, because I know they were here and I know they were talking. Here's what I'm telling you is the better avenue to get this done. Okay. The better avenue to get this done is to go to the website, the link that she's going to put up, all right? Put it in there, because you're not an engineer, I'm not an engineer. Wakota knows may not have the exact answer, but they can forward this to county engineering, city engineering, and I say city, I'm talking about city of Savannah, or whoever else can answer their specific question, all right? Because you may not be able to identify what they're talking about, but if it's in the portal, as Wakota knows and those are telling us, Asia are telling us, they can even give that to GDOT in case there's GDOT working on the project down 17. They can get that in the hands of the person who can get them the answer rather than somebody saying, I'll get the answer for you. All right. So what I'm inviting them to do is to go to the link for me. Go to the link for me.
This is, do you want me to highlight the link or do you want me to?
Yeah, I want you to highlight the link.
Okay, this is.
All right. See the link up there? You see it on your screen? Mm-hmm. All right. Have your constituents write that down to get to that link. Mm-hmm. All right. Go in and go specifically to what they want to talk about and what they want to address. Send those comments to them so that because they're part of the study, mm-hmm. they've got both the, they've got the county, they've got the city, they've got GDOT, they've got the feds, all within their link, all right? So if we have to go, like you asked the question, does GDOT have jurisdiction there? See, if that is the case, then they can, we can get it directly to GDOT. GDOT can get it back to us. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, go ahead and say it. Jasmine just reminded me. So it depends on what kind of questions,
right.
What kind of comments. If it's like regarding potholes in, within the city of Savannah, so it calls 391. But if a county also has that number, just call that number. But if it's like a capacity projects or congestion project, we will decide who to forward that to.
See, and that's what I'm telling them. See, I'm telling them that certain things need to go to the jurisdiction rather than going to GDOT, pothole. Okay. For instance, that's what I'm telling them. All right. And so I want to make sure that they know that there is an avenue to get their questions answered and to get answers to their question. You can still, in that same vein, you can still email, Alderwoman Chabaz, you can still email all Commissioner Milton, but you also can put it in the comment section here, all right? So that now you have three avenues to get you to the answer that you want to get to, all right? That's my purpose for doing what I'm doing, okay? So that everybody understands.
And send you the link so you can forward to your constituents.
Yeah, we make sure everybody got the link, all right? All right, now I'm going to allow this to Clark. Come on, you have a question or you want to make a statement?
Well, just commenting on the general area. And our concerns are more congestion and capacity for that area.
All right, and see now, that when you say congestion, that is a question that needs to go to traffic engineering, whether we're talking about traffic engineering in the city of Savannah or whether we're talking about in the county or, see now, and that's what I'm saying. It'll come to the MPO as well. See, so I'm trying to get you a pathway so that you can get your concerns met. Mm-hmm. All right.
And that's great. And that's what helping us navigate, you know, which
right.
you know, we're I don't know if it's written on the card or you're familiar. We're at Redgate Farms. I'm Dory Clark. And then I have a few other owners and residents, business owners. So our concerns are also, you know, they're twofold as residents of the area, but also as businesses for our customers that are traversing, you know, that area and the heavy congestion that we're seeing and some of the safety concerns, even, you know, at certain times of day that the traffic is backed up for miles on that road. I don't know if you guys travel that way. If you're not living there, then you haven't witnessed it and seen it, but it's literally miles in all these directions. And there's proposed developments that are happening in that area with high density housing, millions of square feet of warehouses, and master plans are being approved, maybe preliminary approved. I'm not familiar with all of it, but without traffic studies. And so our issues and our concerns are based on even the traffic as it's existing now. And yet there's still tons of development that's happening and we're not seeing any the traffic. So we're just concerned with, you know, if an ambulance needs to come to our property or a fire truck, how are they going to get there? There's also lots of aggressive driving that's happening more in that area due to drivers' frustrations with what they're facing every day. And so that sort of thing. And that's what I tried to make some notes so I didn't forget any key components, but that's, and we're trying to figure out, and Tanya's been trying to direct us to, you know, who do we talk to help figure out the next step so that it doesn't continue to get worse.
All right. And that's what I'm trying to help you get to. Yeah. And so what I'm actually doing is I'm giving you more than just one avenue, or just going to Commissioner Milton, or just going to Alderwoman Shabazz. I'm giving you two more different options that you can go through. All right. So if you put your comments in here, then what they can do, if it needs to go to the city of Savannah, all right, then they can send it to the city of Savannah, just like you dial a 311, all right, and put it in there. But I'm giving you more than one option so that you can put it to more than one person.
And I was fascinated. So when we comment in there, they're going to respond to us directly, or they're just going to route it? I'm not familiar with that.
Yeah, system. Yeah. I think normally when you submit the...
It's anonymous.
Okay.
Yeah, so we just have to send it to the proper...
Yeah, nobody can hear you if you...
Sorry. So the comments are anonymous, but we can send it to the proper government agency based on the location or street of the comment.
But she will let you know that she will let you know that she, let's say, and I'm just hypothetical now, she let you know that we transferred it to engineering or to traffic in Chatham County or to the city of Savannah. Mm-hmm. Right. See, but what I'm saying to her, it is anonymous, but when you put it in here, Asia will respond and said, I've sent this to, all right, and she will let you know who she's sending it to. Same thing can happen if you send the same email or send the same comments to Commissioner Milton or Alderwoman Shabazz, they can respond to you. We have forwarded this to, all right, to let you know where it's going. And then you'll know whose responsibility it is to get back with you.
So Chairman Ellis, since it is anonymous and there's no contact information, I can't directly contact the people that submit comments.
No, I'm not talking about that. Here's what I'm saying, though.
Yeah.
Even if I send you an anonymous email, right, it came from somewhere, right? You can respond back to that email saying, I've sent it to that. The reply to that email is I forwarded it to, all right? So what you can say, even though it's anonymous, what MPO can say is I forwarded it to Commissioner Milton. I'm just using that as an example.
I think if the lady submit like a pinpoint, submit a comment over here, what we can do, we just need to document the comment and the comment. We did, the response.
Right.
But if we want to like notify her, something that we have forwarded to like Chatham County Engineering Department, send me an email because we do have the contact information over here.
Right.
So you have my contact information.
And you know where that
they
email came
from. Send me my
from.
Email and then we will send you an email say we forwarded your comments to who and who.
And that's what I'm telling her, okay, is that when the email comes to you, it came from someplace. You can reply to that email. When you reply to that email, you said, I forwarded to Traffic Engineering, City of Savannah. I forwarded to Traffic Engineering, Chatham County. Okay. I forwarded to GDOT. That's all it says. All right. It has nothing to do with identifying anybody. It's just letting you know what happened to it. And then you can expect a response from that particular person. So then you will know who you're getting a response back from. All right. I'm just giving you avenues that you can get your concerns addressed. Okay. All right. Thank you, ma'am.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Can I ask one question?
If you cut on your mic.
It's on.
Okay.
I'll take the mask off.
All right.
Good morning. Just want to ask a question. Do you pay taxes in both city and county?
So for the where Redgate is located, it is just in Chatham County. It has not been annexed into the city.
Okay, and the
parcel of land that we're talking about.
All right, so it's county.
County only.
Just wanted to make sure.
Yeah.
Thank
county
you.
County only.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the new development has been annexed by the city.
Correct. So almost every single property around us has been annexed by the city. Every corner, I think there's one little sliver that kind of has not, and maybe can't. I don't know all the rules related to that, but almost 100% of the property that surrounds every side of us has been annexed into the city. So that's sort of the confusing part we're dealing with too and battling. the city's traffic, I guess, versus ours. So that's been, you know, not knowing who to direct it to or how to, you know, when we're surrounded by it, and that's, it's the traffic that I guess it's their part of their concern or their jurisdiction, but maybe our property itself is not.
Okay, in that area, as the chairman has stated, it is represented by myself, Dr. Shabazz, and Commissioner Milton. So this is my first time hearing any kind of comments. So after the meeting, you can get with me also so I can hear your concerns.
Yeah.
What is the major roadway over there?
Chatham Parkway. So we are surrounded. So Chatham Parkway is to our north. Veterans Parkway borders the property on our east. Burkhalter Road is to our south, and then the railroad track is going to be to our left. So the main is Veterans Parkway and Chatham Parkway. We're right at that intersection, which just shy of that is Highway 17 and Chatham Parkway, where kind of where you were guys were pointing on the map a minute ago.
What happened to them is before the new law went in, and the new law just went in January. All right, folks annexed and put them on an island. Now you can't put them on the island anymore. That's the new law, all right? And what that is folks all around you annex, and they leave you sitting out there by yourself, all right? And now they're creating a problem for you because they have put you on the island, okay? But the new law that went into effect, it might not be undone, okay? I'm not telling you it can be undone, all right? Those are state legislative stuff. But if you look at the new annex, it talks about islands, all right? And what they have honestly done is put you on an island.
And we heard something about that, but I didn't realize. So, yeah, January is when.
Yeah, it's a new law that just went in, all right? And I got that when I was over there in January. I found out about it, all right? So it talks about the island, all right? And what has happened to you is you're an island now, okay? And so – in order to address that, sometimes what the county does, the county commissioner is addressing your issue, but then she went, it's not in my jurisdiction anymore. It used to be, but not there anymore. Okay. So that's what we have a problem with. All right. We've talked to the state legislators about that. I'm just giving you information. All right. Because it's not only a problem in Chatham County, but it's a problem now throughout the state of Georgia. Okay. So we've got to see how we can remedy that and make everybody's life better. Okay? Thank you, ma'am.
Appreciate it. Thank you for your time.
All right.
We'll be in contact.
Yeah. Asia, you all have anything else? All right. Anybody anyone on the board have a question? All right. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you for the due. Let's move on. Come back to you, Wakota.
Okay, the next one is the Regional Freight Transportation Plan update. I just want to let you know that we are almost done with the needs assessment for the freight plan update. So it's for the next several months, we're going to focus on recommendations on the land use and infrastructure improvements. So if you go to the freight plan update website, you can see the freight needs assessment analysis, almost all of the technical memos are available for review now. As of last meeting, the task 2.5 freight network congestion, safety and bottleneck were not available. So now it's available. And the truck parking inventory and truck restriction, as of December, we did the supply side, but this memo now is supplemented by the demand side analysis as well. So you can see that analysis done. And then economic development market assessment of freight and the environmental community impact scan analysis. Also the draft memos are done. And then the land use assessment analysis will be, technical memos will be available on the website pretty soon. And so we are requesting that the general public to, if you're interested, review these tech memos and send us your comments back by the end of March. And we also, we're going to have a virtual forum on March 6th, in this room. But if you want to like participate from home, you can just do in the virtually. If you want to participate in person, you can come to this room. So we're going to have a meeting with the consultant, and we'll tell
tell us what has been done and what expected and what some of the initial recommendations will be. So mark your calendar. It's on March the 6th at 6 o'clock.
Send that to Ms. Gale so she can put it on my calendar, please.
Okay. Great, I would do that.
That's the only way it can get on my calendar. That's the only place I'm going to remember.
Okay, okay.
All right. Yeah. Any questions for anyone? All right. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you.
Ms. Asia?
Okay, I'll be giving a brief status report on the non-motorized transportation plan. So in addition to the Metropolitan Transportation Plan update, we are also updating our non-motorized transportation plan. So I'm just going to go into some of what we're adding to this plan update and kind of the direction that we're going in with the non-motorized transportation plan. So we are adding new data, and this chart here is just a snapshot of some of the data that we're adding to the non-motorized transportation plan. So this chart just details people, the percentage of people who may have reduced car access, and so they might be more dependent on non-motorized infrastructure like crosswalks and sidewalks. So some of that data, which all of this data came from the American Community Survey, we looked at the percentage of households without a car, the percentage of people in poverty, percentage of the population over 65 and under 16, and then also the percentage of the population with a disability. So we thought it was important to look at some of that population data to see how many people within the area actually need non-motorized infrastructure. So in addition to developing a wider regional network, we also kind of wanted to take a closer look into some specific priority areas. And so we've identified some priority areas to determine where non-motorized infrastructure may be implemented first. So we identified those areas as areas surrounding schools, bus stops, some of our existing bike lanes that might need updates and improvements, areas with high bike and pedestrian crash rates, and then also areas with high pedestrian and bike activity. We also did a SWOT analysis, which is just identifying the strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats associated with implementing non-motorized transportation, just to see what policy-wise or environment-wise is working in our favor, and then also what might be a barrier to implementing non-motorized transportation within the area. Additionally, CAT gave us a lot of great data, some ridership data, to kind of see insight into the relationship between public transportation and biking and walking. And I really wanted to include this in the plan just because public transportation and pedestrian and biking often have a symbiotic relationship where one reinforces the other. So we wanted to see some of the bus lines that have high ridership and then also low ridership and see what needs to be done within that area just so public transportation can help with biking and walking, and then also vice versa. And that's because a lot of the conditions that lead to high public transportation ridership also lead to higher rates of biking and walking. And lastly, we're also just doing some aesthetic updates, just doing updates to formatting, design, and some of the images within the plan as well. So this is actually an outdated slide. We're extending the duration of this plan update. So we're giving ourselves more time to create a higher quality plan. So the expected adoption date is no longer June 2023, but we do aim to complete this plan before we adopt the Metropolitan Transportation Plan update in August of 2024. Are there any questions?
All right, questions? Hearing none, thank you, ma'am. Ms. Champion.
Hello again. For the urban flooding model study, the
only updates I kind of have right now is thank you all to all of the counties for submitting their critical infrastructure data that's going to feed into the social vulnerability plan. The consultants were going to present at the February meeting a few weeks ago, but after looking at the project management plan and just kind of looking at how much more data will be available in following months, we suggested that they just present in April, because they're still running a lot of models and collecting a lot of data at this time, and it just will not be available until March. So April was more suitable date. But those are all the updates that I currently have on this plan.
All right. Any questions? Thank you, ma'am.
I've got a question.
All right, question.
I think you know what my question will be.
Go ahead, Paul.
Do we have an invoice?
Do we have an invoice? We do have an invoice, but I had to ask them to provide a report. Okay. That's why I reached out to you for an example to share.
Oh, okay.
But I did end up finding a few things and built a template for them to use. I'm just waiting on them to actually submit it.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. All right, who's doing the 80? US 80 corridor study update.
Do we have anybody online?
Do we have somebody on?
I was just to open it from.
We need somebody from Pula, right?
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, can you hear me? This is Tom Hutcherson.
Yes, sir, I got you.
Oh, fantastic. I was having some problems with my audio here. In terms of the corridor study, I think the report is self-explanatory. We are currently 50%, close to 50% completion. The study is on time. We forecast the final report to be done in September of 2023.
All right.
Other than that, that's all I have. Thank you.
Okay, let's move on. Okay. All right, information, GDOT.
I think Sally said GDOT just sent an updated report about 5 minutes ago. So the file that we posted online is already out of date. Yeah. So let me find that one. Where is it? Admin. The other admin? Admin 7. Okay, that one. Podium. This one? Okay. Yeah, this is the latest status report that was submitted a moment ago.
Yeah, okay. Thank you.
Katie.
Okay. So for pre-construction line 1 and 2, the Port Wentworth bridges, construction is ongoing on Savannah River Bridge and the design continues on the remainder, and Middle River design is also ongoing. Number 3, the safety improvements on State Route 204 from State Route 21 to Rio Road continues toward PFPR. Number 4, I-16 at Chatham Parkway still holding for the June 23 let. 5 and 6 is the widening bridge replacement on State Route 404 spur US 17 north from northeast of Savannah Harbor Parkway to Back River. It continues in concept approval and they anticipate that in March. Number 7, the bridge replacement on State Route 26, US 80 at Bull River continues to work on the environmental dock and draft. Number 8, Lazaretta Creek bridge replacement working to get environmental dock approved. Number 9 is 521855 State Route 26 from I-516 to Victory Drive widening project let in January was rejected, but it's been rescheduled to relet in April now. And who can I send the detailed information to that was requesting that earlier?
Send it to, if you will send it to the county manager as well, Chatham County manager, as well as send it to Wakota, all right? And then okay. The county manager can get it to Miss Milton, and she can also get it to Shabazz, okay? Let me ask you to do this for me. If you would go back to number four, which is the Chatham Parkway.
Yes.
When you said is let in that hole, because we have some residents from Chatham Parkway here, I want them to understand that dialogue, okay, that you're telling them. So if you just give an explanation of where that is, what that means.
Okay, so this project is holding for June 23 let. That means they're going to hold off on the construction until another project is finished, which is 12757, and it's currently in construction. And when that bridge jacking project is finished, then they'll start on this one.
Okay. Yeah, I just want to give you that clarification since you're sitting here with us, all right? And you still have time now. That's why I have it going to the manager. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I think Commissioner Milton would like to have just kind of a brief update on the scope of that project.
And what is 647?
A brief update on which project?
I just want
same one, number four.
Number four, yes.
Number four. And tell me where CS-647 is. I'm just interested in where the safety improvements are being done. You got I-16 at CS-647, and then you also mentioned 2289 Chatham Parkway. I'm just trying to get a eyeball where we are when you speak about those areas.
Right. So, okay, so the pre-construction project, the 15675, it's I-16 at 647. That's Chatham Parkway. So this one is holding. It's certified and ready. It's just holding until project 12757 on the construction. It's an active construction right now. It's a bridge jacking project. And as soon as that gets finished, then we can start the 15675.
Katie, I think the Commissioner Milton was asking, what is a CS-647? What is a CS-2289?
Are these county streets? Are they not your county street numbers?
Yeah.
Okay.
So basically, it is Chatham Parkway. It's different, like a naming system, right?
It's just the way they put it in the program.
Name rather than use the county number.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
The name of it is Chatham Parkway. The county number is 647.
Yeah, she also wants to know what is the scope for this safety improvements. What needs to be done? It's like adding turn lanes, or I mean, what is the specific scope?
15675. I was seeing if they had a quick summary, but I'll just add that to send to you guys.
Okay. Just send it to us so that we can forward it to you.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
Adding that one.
All right.
Okay.
She also has construction on the second page.
Yeah. And number 10 on pre-construction was the State Route 30 at Hodgefield Road.
Right.
And it remains in concept, and it's anticipating submittal this month. And then for construction projects, the top number one, they haven't officially changed the anticipation completion date. So I haven't changed it on the report, but I have heard that they're now looking to wrap that up summer 24. And then number 2, 3, and 4 are practically finished. They are just waiting on some corrective work and paperwork to take it off the report. So you'll see those coming off. Also, number 6 is I-16 at 307. And I'm going to put the detour information from the website in the chat right here. They're planning a road closure on Dean Forest scheduled to begin tonight at 7 p.m. and end on Sunday at 7 p.m.
Right.
Okay. I know they did a press release. I just wanted to mention that and put that up there.
Yeah, I think you all made that public announcement starting last night. And early this morning about the closure on Dean Forest Road.
Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much everything. And I'll get the detailed information to you guys in a few minutes.
Okay. Any questions from any member of the board? Yes, you want to comment? Okay, no questions. All right. Okay. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Chatham County.
Hello. So we previously discussed State Route 25 corridor study, State Route 204 access study, and President Street at Truman Railroad study. Those are all being prepared to go out for consultant qualifications. Quaco Road widening project, the clearing contract will be going out soon. Little Neck Road, the right-of-way acquisition is ongoing. Skidaway Road, intersection improvements, the right-of-way acquisition will begin soon for that project. Waltar Road, slope stabilization, this project will go out for bid soon. Traffic signal at Johnny Mercer Boulevard and Lyman Hall, that project will also go out for bid soon. Are there any questions?
All right, any questions? Any commission, any member board? Thank you, ma'am. Appreciate the City of Savannah.
Do we have anybody from City of Savannah online? Huh?
Okay. We can move on. All right, let's go to Kat.
Can you bring ours up?
Yeah. Yours up.
Okay, thank you. So I'll go through the status update, and then we've also got a bit of an update on the master transit plan today. So on the ferries, two of the ferry purchases have been, the contract was awarded. We are still expecting to issue the NTP before the end of the month. We're just in finalizing the contract details now. On the paratransit vehicles, and I need to make a correction on this one, there's a purchase order that was issued for 10 electric paratransit vehicles. We do expect delivery on those in April. The Z230 funds for the diesel bus replacements for three is in process. That bus order was placed in December for three 35-foot buses. We expect completion of that this summer. ITS Clever Devices, we installed hardware on our ferry vessels in September. We only have two vessels right now that are operating. Two are in some really extensive maintenance activities, and so until that is completed, the final activation of that and completion of that is postponed for a bit. On the ferry boat maintenance facility and ferry dock, actually have an update to when, from since we actually even provided this information to you. So the remaining appraisal and review appraisal that required FTA approval has been given. The now complete grant submittal has been made to FTA. And as soon as we get their approval back, which should be, we think, pretty quickly, that those grant funds will be released and the unobligated balance funds issue that we have been dealing with will no longer be an issue. That was an old grant that resulted because of a delay in implementation had resulted in a matter around unobligated balances for us. On the electric bus replacement, Z230 and low-no funding, we have grants for four EV buses in addition to the six that we already have, which will bring us to 10 total. We're currently working through the budget process for our FY24 budget.
Excuse me a minute. Y'all take that in the hallway.
We are currently working through in our FY24 budget preparation process, determining our matching funds for those grants before we take them to the board for approval. But I expect that that will occur in the next fiscal year. Transit development plan and comprehensive operational analysis. The funds were awarded on that and executed in May. As you know, these are two things that we are coordinating very closely with the master transit plan. The transit development plan and comprehensive operational analysis is sort of the more short term, the routes and stops, kind of very nuts and bolts kind of piece of the analysis, and the master plan, of course, being more of the vision.
and it's coordinated across all three of our services, our buses, our ferries, and our CAP mobility, our paratransit services. These two grants were mentioned earlier, and I'll just talk about them very quickly together. These are funds that were awarded to us in mid-2022, both for the areas of persistent poverty and the route restoration analysis. We are coordinating the use of those funds and integrating it in with the other existing efforts to make sure that we leverage those funds to the most efficiently, most effectively. Both of them in some fashion deal with the analysis needed to connect emerging job centers with areas that have higher levels of poverty and don't have as frequent or as much access as some other areas. So I want to quickly also give you a little bit more of an update on the master transit plan and implementation strategy. We do anticipate completion of that this summer. The market analysis and state of system reports are out and are posted on our website now. If we could go to the next slide.
That's it.
That's it.
Yeah.
This package too.
It was attached. Yeah. You did send us the.
This was the additional data that goes with that.
Okay. Yeah. There is a.
Very good. Thank you.
Okay.
So just a little bit more on the project schedule. Actually, I think that we're going to achieve a little bit sooner delivery than the project schedule is showing here. This was the original schedule. So in March. We anticipate a series of virtual meetings, focus meetings with CAP board members. There will be an in-person presentation to the CAP board at the board meeting, and the stakeholder committee that is activated for this project will also be meeting. Then in April, there will be a particular workshop on the Marine Services component of it and a presentation scheduled for this body for the MPO. In May, we'll be going out with a lot more of the in-person community engagement, both with an open house meeting that will be at the invitation of all elected officials and business leadership officials throughout Chatham County. And we're going to be hosting pop-ups at the Transit Center and other community events and doing additional focus groups with our riders. And then we anticipate making a presentation at the last meeting in May of what will be our final draft recommendations to the CAP board with an anticipated potential adoption if the schedule holds toward the end of June. We think that that positions us really well in terms of upcoming grant cycles, as well as making sure that we're providing the information to the MPO for inclusion in the 2050 plan. Update.
So you're going to complete that in May. So are you going to do a presentation in June to the MPO board about the recommendations?
Well, we can do another presentation in May in addition to the other one that we were talking about doing here. We've got two. We asked to present to the MPO board, let me look, in April. And we can do another in May or June.
Okay, yeah. So we have April and June meetings. So you want to do April and June for the MPO board?
That'd be fine.
Okay. Yeah, we can do that. Okay.
And then the potential priorities that are really emerging from the analysis that's already been done, both in terms of that state of the system and the market analysis, is to expand geographically, looking at new service area, new markets. You may already be aware that we're expanding service in Garden City, and we're also working with Port Wentworth on the service expansion, as well as looking at the opportunity for a commuter job express service that can connect folks in Chatham County to all of the emerging job markets around us. Investing in existing services, especially in terms of the frequency of service, trying new service types. We certainly are looking at microtransit. We're planning, as I mentioned earlier, our first mile, last mile pilot before the end of this year, but are really interested in how microtransit can become a part with our fixed route of what will ultimately likely be some of the strongest recommendations that come out of the master transit plan. Continuing to invest in electric vehicles and clean fuel technologies, and we're also working with Senator Ossoff's office on some of the other clean fuel technology developments that are occurring in the state of Georgia. They've involved both MARTA and CAT as the two transit systems that have been involved in that.
expanding our ferry services, looking at whether, especially with as much growth and development as occurring on Hutchison Island with the convention center and with other facilities there, how we make sure that our ferry service continues to meet that demand, both for the workers who work there, as well as those who are there for the activities and the economic activity in those facilities, offering more commuter services, including but not limited, we mentioned the express bus type services, and improving our passenger facilities with hubs, building shelters, and adding amenities. One of the things we know is the truth of the matter is every transit trip starts at the stop. And so that's the first place that we need to make sure that all of our passengers and riders have a safe, dignified, comfortable place to begin their trip with us. Next slide. And then example projects. I won't go through all of these in the interest of time, but you can see we're talking about, you know, where we might be serving, frequency of service, hours of service, the mobility on demand microtransit, which is, I think, really going to be a really important part, both from an equity perspective and just a healthy growth in our transit system perspective. And you can see, again, some of the other things that remain there. I was very appreciative of the report that was given earlier and the non-motorized vehicles and then investing in crosswalks and sidewalks. Transit systems are simply not successful if they don't have great pedestrian infrastructure because that's how you've got to access. So our coordination and collaboration with MPC and the core MPO in that regard has been, I think, incredibly valuable to both of us, and we are appreciative of the opportunity. Thank you.
All right, any questions?
I have a question about the emerging markets, such as the mega site, also the recent announcements both for Effingham County and South Brown County. Do you have any public participation or meetings planned to discuss that, or how do you propose getting that information if you intend to provide service or to those areas?
What we're doing right now is assessing the opportunity so that when we go to discuss, we have something to be able to say, this is what we could offer. So we're doing more of a system design, operations design sort of piece to that now to be able to take either to the private sector who might be interested in entertaining some sort of carpool, vanpool, microtransit kind of services or express bus sponsorship. Versus something that local government would need to support, or whether there's an interest from local government in looking at what those might be. So right now we're still in the service design and analysis phase, and we've also been, you know, in order to provide any kind of service, you've got to have vehicles and you've got to have operators. And so the other thing that we've been doing is working on, if you've seen what those express motor coach job commuter systems look like in up in the Atlanta region, you know that they're a larger motor coach type vehicle. We're looking at that and the possibility of, I don't want to call it loaner, but the possibility of some of those vehicles being transferred down here to us so that if there's a decision made to start that kind of service, it can be a quick start. We wouldn't have to go through a lengthy acquisition and procurement process. And then how we are recruiting and where the recruitment can occur to actually fill those operator positions. So what we want to do is really have a better defined proposal to be able to take forward before we go really much more public.
Is there any timeline? Because, you know, a lot of this begins in the next 2 years. So, I mean, yeah, it's kind of a short timeline to get all the planning, and it'd be nice to have some projected timeline as to when some decisions could be made or public engagement or, you know, services offered.
I think you'll see that timeline for what let's call it a more permanent or regular service would look like will be in our master transit plan.
Okay.
In the meantime, just the notion of how many workers or construction folks are being moved into that area back and forth to be able to, you know, undertake all the activity to develop the site and so forth is another opportunity. We've got to figure out one of the things that is a key piece of information is that is the destination. But with every trip, you've also got to know where's the origin. So it's this notion of really understanding where are people coming from? Where can we collect folks? For example, if we were to do something that's similar to what Atlanta has, where you've got park and ride lots, and then you've got the service being provided. Again, if we can do some sort of thing where we lease some space. So it's not, you don't have to go build park and ride lots. You can get that lease agreements potentially in place much more quickly with places that may have excess parking. And that could be Monday through Friday. That could be a major church parking lot. It could be a Walmart. It could be lots of things, right? And then have those vehicles that we could put into place. If we can even just begin to see how this might work in that construction time frame, that's another opportunity as well. And I think that one could have a shorter timeline on it. But again, we've got to really get the proposal together to be able to give any decision makers, whether it's, you know, more with the private side or with local governments, the opportunity to know what they're reacting to.
Right. Well, we know that the, you know, the workers are going to come from many, many miles away in all directions in that halo effect. And, you know, today already, you talked about construction workers, but we're also looking at the permanent workers and what that's going to look at like for all of us in this community, in this region. So
if you have an interest in it, I'm glad to send you. We do have a proposal that we have developed just to look at an analysis proposal, just to look at how we could help meet that need.
Okay.
And we have circulated it a bit, but I'm more than happy, if you haven't seen it, I'm more than happy to send a copy of that to you.
I don't think I've seen it, but I would be more than happy to look at it and have discussion.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Then you send it to us, so we will forward to the members who are interested. Thank you.
And plus, that's the conversation we're having now about more of a regional transportation.
Yeah.
All right. So is what you mean. And so it's going to require that we also bring in the JDA, all right, the Joint Development Authorities and the rest of them, because when we look at transportation for just not Hyundai, the main Hyundai plant, but for those other plants and things that's going to come right with them, and that's going to be in the outer area, right? So that's why we've been having conversations. Okay. About regional transportation, all right?
I agree. It has to be a regional solution.
It has to be, and so we don't have to stick our foot in the sand, all right? You don't get a little sand between your toes, but it'll work out all right. Okay. Any other questions? All right. Let's go on to the airport.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Two quick projects. We have the security checkpoint expansion currently ongoing, expanded from 4 to 6. Gates will greatly improve customer service when completed. The other one is a demo air cargo. It's building a taxi lane and much needed common use ramp space at the airport. That's my quick report, pending any questions. Thanks.
All right. Any questions? Having none, let's move on. All right. Going to the next one.
Yes, Stephanie's not online, but the reports on the US 17 widening and I-95 widening are included over here. So,
okay.
So if you're interested, it's attached.
Okay, let's go on to TIP.
Sally has been coordinating with all the jurisdictions who have received the MPO controlled portion of the funds, and we actually got information. So you can see the updated information in this report. So you try to print as you directed the larger format, but that requires like 5 pages of 11x17. So it was impossible to print.
Okay. Any questions? All right.
I just want to take a look at Tybee Road, and if you could point it out to me so I can verify everything's still on schedule. So is it not on this one?
Yes, not okay. Tybee.
That is at the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Right after 95. Yeah, right after 95-16, Bull River.
All
Yeah, these are just tracking the funding. So if you want to know the status, really has to go through GDOT.
No, the funding is one of my questions. I just want to make sure that the Y230 funding for the right-of-way acquisition is in place for the Bull River Bridge.
I think we processed, okay.
I mean, well, at the last meeting, that's what we were told, is that?
Yeah. We actually
I'm just verifying.
Yeah, I think we need to update the information over here. Because Tybee did get award of Y230 funds, so we need to update that in this table.
Yes, ma'am. I just want to make sure we're on the record.
We
did get that. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Can you show me the PI number on this?
PI number 17414 and 17415 as well.
Right.
These are twins.
Thank you.
Those are the two that.
And just one quirky request from our GDOT folks. We have two information signs, one at one as you're coming towards Tybee and one as you're leaving Tybee Island. If no one knows what SR-26 is, and we get a lot of complaints about that. So if and when they do put messaging up on the board, use Highway 80 or Tybee Road just so people know what you're talking about. And I know it's the state designation is SR-26, but people visiting the island aren't from here. So we get a lot of people who are looking up Highway 80 and Tybee Road and they're not seeing SR. So just a little quirky thing that we wanted to throw out there. Thank you.
I think it's just like the project that we talked about, the Chatham Parkway, let's see as some number. Yeah, we don't know what it is.
They have to designate it.
Yeah.
It has to be designated.
You know, expect delays on SR-26. Nobody knows what you're going to talk about.
I got you.
Not a big deal, but thank you.
I will find out who to route that to. So.
Okay.
Yeah, I've got it. Thanks.
Yeah, I heard it.
Thank you, Gage.
Sorry.
All right.
You know, I just closed it. Oh.
Okay.
Oh, that's awful.
We didn't have anyone to sign up for public comments, did we?
Huh? Yeah, I don't know what I did.
I don't know what you did either.
Okay.
Sally got you.
Yeah.
Do we have anybody to call and sign up for public comments on the? All right, so we don't even need to go there. All right, the Federal Register.
Those are just included for information.
All right, that's information. The next core MPO meeting will be April the 26th, 2023, 10 a.m. right here in this chamber. All right, any comments or questions from anybody? If not, I move for adjournment. Motion?
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Second. Vote.
Robbie Caudill, GDOT, yes.
Michael Kegley, yes.
Les Fussell, yes.
Pamela Bernard, yes.
Waiting on y'all.
Plumbo, yes.
Ms. Faye.
Sean Gillard, yes.
Faye DeMassimo, yes.
Chairman, yes. We adjourn.
Right.
That's it.
You guys doing okay in Savannah?
We're hanging in here. We got a big one tomorrow.
Yeah, that's a big policy. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. I don't know if I'm going to be in the long.
I know John Mallory.
He owns a house on Tybee.
But things don't go his way. He gets an earful. But he's a pretty decent fellow, as far as I can tell. And he's very pleased with when we do things right, he tells us to.
Yeah, that's right.
I didn't know he was going to have a conversation. He knew he was building this. I